One more time. Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. This is the reading of God's word. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. As we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more and more like your Son. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has accomplished for us, the reality of our eternal life. Let us rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving and glory. Be with us as we hear your word. Let us be more and more like Jesus Christ. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle Paul labors to proclaim Jesus Christ so that he may present God's people complete in Jesus Christ. And with a great effort, he prays for them. And he does all this so that God's people will have a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we now come to verse 4. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. See, everyone must know Jesus Christ and hold fast Jesus Christ. But as Apostle Paul sees it, in the church, those who are deceived by the false teachings, those who hold fast the false teachings rather than Jesus Christ, he sees these people are deceived by the false teachings. And this is in the church. So this verse clearly shows us that there were false teachers among the congregation of the Colossian church, teaching false things to delude or deceive them with persuasive argument. If we look at chapter 2, rest of chapter 2, which we will look at in the coming weeks, then we are able to figure out the content of that false teaching. Let me give you a few verses. Verse 8, Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Chapter 2, verse 16, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day." Verse 18, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind." Verse 28 through 22b, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees, such as in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? So you kind of get clear understanding what was the content of that false teachings. Verse 23, let me read you one more. There are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So you know what is coming because we're going to go through all those verses. So for many weeks, we're going to talk about false teachings. And it's important because it's not just 2,000 years ago that these teachings were being taught, but it continues today. But it might be a little hard for us to go through false teachings, but we need to deal with them. And if I give you the conclusion to chapter 2, so he's warning about all these false teachings, then what can we do so that we will not be deluded by the false teachings? Well, in chapter 2, as he teaches us about these false teachings, time to time he will remind us what we have to do. And if I summarize that, it says that you need to know Jesus Christ. And you need to hold fast Jesus Christ. And right after chapter 2, chapter 3 begins, therefore, after he said all these false teachings and said, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So, what is the solution? Well, you know Jesus Christ and you hold on to Jesus Christ, and you set your minds on heavenly things. There's no any other way. Otherwise, then you're going to live a life that is resulting from being deceived by these false teachings. Well, we will look at these things in more detail in the weeks to come, but let us go back to verse 4. According to our verse, because that false teaching begins at verse 8, which you will start next week. According to our verse, the false teacher tries to delude God's people with persuasive argument. And you need to understand that these false teachers will not bring you what we might call stupid arguments. No, it's persuasive arguments. It sounds good, and it's convincing some way. It is persuasive, but at the end, it is still false. These false teachers were eloquent and had a talent for speaking. And same today. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 4. I read you this again last week, I think. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's not my ability to persuade you or convince you that you will believe. I need to preach the gospel, the word. And it is the Holy Spirit that makes you believe. But human wisdom says no. It's about ability of the preacher. That's not what the Bible is teaching. Paul says it wasn't superiority of speech or of wisdom. It's not, was, you know, his words were not even persuasive. But it is the Word of God. In fact, these false teachers at the time said that Paul was not impressive when it comes to speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, for they say his letters are weighty and strong. You know, Paul's letters, it was, when you read it, oh, strong and weighty. But his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Paul himself says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6a, but even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. Obviously, when it comes to preaching and speaking, teaching, Paul was not eloquent. And he even admits it. Even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. What he's saying is, but he knows the truth. Our verse says that the false teachers will come to you with persuasive arguments, even using eloquent and impressive when you hear them. We must make sure that no one will delude us with persuasive argument. Only Jesus Christ and His kingdom is the content of the gospel. Now, verse 5 tells us that the most of the Colossian congregation is doing well. Verse 5 says, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. The words discipline and stability are military words. They are like the soldiers who have been trained well. Discipline, a life that is in good order. Well-organized life, a life that is properly arranged. And this is how Christian life must be. It is a life in which a person obeys God's will every single day as a good habit. Stability, not easily moved. In a war, it's a picture of a very strong front line. A life lived in an orderly fashion, holding fast Jesus Christ and obeying well the will of God. It might not be a life that is desirable by this sinful world, but God sees it and He rejoices. Rejoicing to see. A disciplined line, standing firm on faith in Jesus Christ. This is how we must be. And when you be like this, you will not be deceived by the false teaching. We need to realize that there is a war going on, even now, a spiritual war. See, we believe God, we believe the Holy Spirit, He is living in us, then we must also believe Satan and evil spirits. And you need to ask yourself, what are they doing now? Are they sleeping? Or are they actively working? And if they're actively working, what do you think that they're doing right now? Because Christianity is all about the Word. And if you could distort the truth, that's the biggest harm to Christianity. That is what they're doing right now. That is why there's so much false teachings. You must know the Bible. Otherwise, you're going to be in big trouble. And I keep telling you, if you read the Bible only on Sunday, only during worship time, that is not good enough. That is never enough. This church provides Bible studies, and you could always call me, oh, try this once. Just call me and say, let's have a Bible study and see how happy I'm going to be. And there are people who are doing that. I'm meeting them one-on-one because they just want to. You need His Word. You need to study. You need to know. Otherwise, then how can you tell what you are hearing is the truth if you don't know the Bible? So please, use me. Use me in terms of you learning the Bible. Verses 6 and 7, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Beautiful verses. Actually, we could say that these two verses summarizes the whole letter. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, or you have received Christ Jesus as the Lord. The sinful world will never receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Here we have the three words, Christ, Jesus, and the Lord. And these three words put it together has so much meaning. It's saying that Jesus is the Christ. See, Christ is not His name. It is His title. Just like when we say President Trump, President is not His name. It's His title. Trump is His name. Just like Jesus Christ. Christ is His title. It means Messiah. So when you say He's Jesus Christ, you're saying He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Messiah that Old Testament promises. That Jesus is He, the Messiah, the Old Testament promise. And Jesus, the Christ, is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is our master. He is the owner. He is the king. And if you receive Him as the Lord, what are you doing? You're receiving Him as your master, your owner, your king. And once you receive Him as your Lord, then what do you need to do? You need to obey. Unless you don't receive Him as your Lord. We must receive Jesus as the Christ and the Lord at the same time. I say this because there are some people in churches that say that we could receive Jesus as the Savior now and receive Him as the Lord later. So what he's saying is that you believe Christ to be saved, but you don't have to obey Him yet. So they're making easy to say yes to Jesus. In fact, they're lying to them. But this is what they do. So, oh, it's okay. You don't have to follow these things here. You don't have to do what he says, but just receive him as your Savior. And you could be saved and sin as much as you want. That is not Christianity. That's, again, false teaching. No, once you receive him as your Savior, you are receiving him as your Lord. You must obey. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Who is Jesus Christ? We already learned in chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God and the head of the church, the Lord of the creation, the Lord of the new creation. He has the first place in everything, the mystery of God, and in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is our God. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you have received Him, we must walk in Him. The Christian life is a life walking in Jesus Christ, living in Jesus Christ, living as the one who is united to Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be Christian. Jesus is the beginning, and He is the end. And He is all that is in between. If you don't understand your life as such, then you still don't know what being a Christian really means. It's not that you have your own life and Christ is just there, and whenever you need His help to achieve your evil desire, then you call upon Him. And He just once in a while help you. Oh, you have very wrong understanding of Christian life. Jesus is Christian life. That's why Paul even says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He said, to live is Christ. Man, that phrase, to live is Christ, says it all. That everything you do, say, and think, it has to be in terms of Christ. Unless you're dead. Because to live is Jesus Christ. And walking in Christ means that we live as if Christ lives through us. And I say as if, and I don't like that, because it is actually true that He does live in you. Jesus is everything. As we have received Him as our Lord, we continue to serve and obey and worship Him as our Lord. As we have received Him as our utmost joy, we continue to have Him as our utmost joy. We do not start with Jesus Christ and end with something else. We start with Christ and we continue with Christ and we end with Christ. Well, there is no end. It is for us, Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end and all that is in between. Now, walking in Jesus Christ, living in Jesus Christ, that life is described to us in verse 7. And that's what we're going to look at before we end this sermon. And it's a beautiful verse because it describes who you are, how you are. It tells you what is true of you. It says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, and establish in your faith just as you were instructed and overflow with gratitude. So very first thing is what? That you are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. This is how you are. This is who you are, according to the Bible. Firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. Second, you're being built up in Jesus Christ. And third, establish in faith just as you are instructed. That you're established in faith according to what you have learned so far. And fourth, overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with thanksgiving. Brothers and sisters, we are firmly rooted in Him. It is a past tense, and it is passive. You didn't save yourself. God did. And He saved you in Jesus Christ. And when He saved you, He united you unto Jesus Christ. So that there is no longer you alone. You know, from now on, forever and ever, there is no such thing as young Kim without Christ. That person doesn't exist anymore. Young Kim is always in Christ. Young Kim is always united to Christ. So that whatever Christ has done, God accepts as if I've done it. That's how united I am to Christ from now and forever. The same thing is for you too. Having been firmly rooted in Him, we have been firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. We have been firmly rooted. What? We are united to Jesus Christ now and forever. God has already started the good work in us. My nature, my substance, my identity, my security, my purpose, my meaning are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. That I cannot say anything about myself apart from Christ anymore. You really need to believe this. Because this is what the Bible says. And as such, we are also being built up in Jesus Christ. That's our reality today. Even today, we're being built up. We are being built up. We are growing in Jesus Christ. The picture here is a building that is being completed. That the foundation is laid and it is being completed. The whole building is building up. All who are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ will also build up in Jesus Christ. And this is what is true of us. That if you're truly rooted in Christ, you will build up. You will grow. And you need to believe. It's not so much of your effort. Yes, your effort is definitely included, but it is by faith that you really need to believe what Jesus has done and what He is doing in your life even now. By believing, you will live according to that faith. Because if you believe that it's up to you, that you need to put your effort to be that, then you will never be that. But you need to believe that He has already made you that person. That's why first thing is you believe. Believe that you are being sanctified even now. Of course, it's not readily visible. That's why I say believe. I mean, if you could see how sanctifying you are every single day, you become more like Christ, and man, just you could see this improvement in your life. Man, I don't even have to say believe. You will just know it. But God says to believe. This is why it is nonsense to the non-Christians. What do you mean? See, for non-Christians, this world is opposite. Man, it's stupid just to believe. Do it. Just like that commercial. Just do it. That's more important, right? Doing it. So that by doing it, you're going to become. But God said, you already have become. I, God says, made you already. And you need to believe, even though when you look at yourself, you're farthest from that thing that you have to believe. I remind you, God said, you are the light of the world. God never says, be the light of the world. He doesn't say like that. Because it's not up to you. Well, if God tells you, be the light of the world, then it's all up to you and you're going to be that light? You cannot. So believe that you are rooted in Christ and you're now being built up. You're growing to become that perfect person that God has already made you to be in Christ. Because spiritually, when you stand before God, God actually accepts you as that perfect person because spiritually you are already perfect in Christ. You must believe. It's because of your lack of faith that it's not happening. But once you believe, that faith dictates your works. I mean, think about this. You're sitting on that chair. If you truly believe that that chair will break, you're not going to sit there. Your faith dictates what you do. Believe. More and more we will be like Jesus Christ, and one day when we see Him face to face, we will be just like Him. For all those who are not rooted in Jesus Christ, there will be no built up either. But do not confirm you being rooted by looking how you are built up, by looking at how you live. Oh, then you're going to be discouraged. But how do you know that you're rooted in Christ? And once you're rooted, then everything else is true of you also. Do you believe? Jesus died for your sins and lived that perfect righteous life for you. Do you believe that you are a sinner, deserve to go to hell forever, but that Jesus died in your place? And with his precious blood, do you believe God has cleansed all your sins? Then you are rooted in Christ. Continue to believe. Not only we are rooted in Christ and being built up in Christ, but also established in our faith, just as we were instructed. Stand firm in faith in Jesus Christ, just as you have heard, just as you have learned. And faith comes from hearing the word of God, God says. As we are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ, we are being built up in Jesus Christ, and we trust and we believe Jesus Christ. And notice that everything is in terms of Jesus Christ. It's not being rooted in anything else. And it's not about being built up in any other things but in Jesus Christ. And being established in faith in Jesus Christ. And we do all this with overflowing gratitude, with overflowing thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. A life walking in Jesus Christ is a life that is overflowing with gratitude. And the false teaching is the thing that hinders, that interferes with this life. Believe me, it's not about anything else. It's about your relationship with Christ. That is what matters. And your relationship with Christ depends on your knowing the Word of God. You could be so happy without having anything out there in the world. Or you could have so much out there in the world and still be miserable. It doesn't depend on those things. But false teaching, the teaching of this sinful world, will tell you that once you possess the world, then happiness comes. Do not listen to it. You think you will be more happy if certain problems will be solved, and if you make a little bit more money, if you get a little bit better job, or go into a little bit better school, you think that will solve all your problems? Is that what you believe? The world says that that's how it is. But the Bible says it's all about your relationship with Christ. Meaning your understanding, your knowledge of the Word of God. Another way of saying it is, it's all by living by faith. We learn from the Bible. Because this truth, it's not just words, it's the living word of the living God. So we must believe. And once you believe, you are able to live by what you believe. We don't care whether you have so much out there or you don't have much. We don't judge you like that. We don't value you like that. You are valuable because of Christ. And we judge you as so precious person because your union with Jesus Christ. So we're overflowing with gratitude. And we're not just thanking Him for the worldly things that He gives us. We don't expect much because He only promised, do not worry about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear. And He asked us to pray for daily bread. So I expect from God just that. But I'm always receiving much, much more than that. But according to the world, even though I feel like I'm receiving so much more than what I deserve, but according to the world, they look at me and say, he doesn't have much. Oh, I have actually too much. And when I go to heaven, I will see how much I have. A life walking in Jesus Christ, overflowing with gratitude. And the false teaching is the thing that hinders, that interferes with this life. See, false teaching, it turns from Christ-centered life to me-centered life. So instead of Christ being everything, you are everything. It turns heaven-centered life to this world-centered life. So it's not heaven, it's all about this world. The false teachings of this world come to you disguised as Christian message, but it will turn you from Christ to yourself and from heaven to this world. So your whole focus will be you and this world rather than Jesus Christ and heaven. It's not that complicated. Whatever you believe, is it making you more Christ-centered and heaven-centered, or is it making you more you-centered and this world-centered? It's not that complicated. False faith turns to false teachings. They hear them. This is why John says what? First John, chapter 4. Verse 5 says, they are from the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. But we are from God. We listen to God. So nothing wrong with world listening to the world, because they belong to the world, and of course they're going to hear the world has to say. But what is wrong is Christians listening to the world. So it is very important for us to learn about these false teachings. What are they saying? So that we could know that those are false teachings, so that we will not hear them, listen to them. Well then, what must we do? Verse 6, walk in Him. And chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. So just like, see, whenever you are asked, you know, questions, in this church, you just remember the name of our church, Christ and Heaven. So, what we must do, Bible says, walk in Jesus Christ. You know Him and you hold fast Jesus Christ. So, Christ, and set your minds on things above. Above, meaning heaven. So, His answer is always Jesus Christ and heaven. Just remember our church's name. Jesus Christ and heaven. Then, these false teachings will not delude you, will not deceive you. You know, God gave us so much example in the Bible. And I always tell you this story, right? King Solomon, you know, he's the perfect example. He had everything any sinner would want in this world. He had 1,000 women. Man, there are 365 days. 1,000 women. And he was the richest person in the whole universe at the time. And because God gave him this understanding, this wisdom, he says, after experiencing 1,000 women and just riches upon riches, he says, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. Meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. Listen to Him. Listen to the Word of God. Don't be deceived. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is truly the lamp upon our feet. It clearly shows our way, the way to our Lord Jesus Christ, the way to our eternal home, heaven. Oh Father, Your Word is truth, and only Your Word is truth. Let us know the truth, so that we will not be deceived by the false things, false teachings, the wisdom of this world. Bless us, and let us always remember how we are rooted in Christ, being built up in Jesus Christ, established in faith, and we live with overflowing gratitude. We thank You that that is our life, now and forever. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.